Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
What's good, internet? It is December 8th? No, wrong. December 5th. December 5th, 2016. We are coming to you live. For real, we are coming to you live from the...
Wait, hold on, Austin.
What?
We're live, but it's showing a black screen on the Twitch stream.
Why would it do that? Why would it be doing that?
I love all of this.
I can hear us laughing.
Why is it showing?
Yeah, the audio works, but it's calls in a separate window.
See,
I'm not sure what that means.
I can see the window.
I think it's
black. It's not
good.
There we go. Okay.
Back.
It worked. It just took a second. It needed to think.
Okay.
It needed to think a little bit.
We are coming to you live. We're doing it. From the Brick House, from the Digital Pyramids, from Vice HQ in Brooklyn, from this little conference room.
Special
that
room.
We've taken over.
For special people.
This is going to be a short podcast because we have this room until 1 o'clock. It is 12:23 while we are recording. We're still going to record this podcast and launch it live later again. Second live.
Second life.
Second life.
Yes.
I am Austin Walker. Joining me as always, Patrick Klepek, Danielle Riendo.
Yep.
We can see each other. We can see
hello,
you.
Hello, hello, hello. We can.
Special.
I'm going to try to stay focused, and we're going to get through an hour-long podcast in 37 minutes.
37.
Okay, time to hustle. Let's do it.
Yeah.
How's it going? How are your weekends?
Good, good. I played a lot of Dishonored, but we've talked about that a lot, so maybe
How far have you gotten? Where are you at?
I am in the Dust District, and I am taking my sweet time, mm-hmm. as usual. Here's the thing I found out about Dishonored. Playing it last night, I was playing with my dog. It was wonderful. He was on my lap. He was very cute. And I was petting him and playing.
Yeah.
I realized where the phantom kills are coming from.
Ooh.
In my game. Because I've been going through non-lethally, but, like, every now and then there's a kill. And I'm like, what the hell? I, like, knocked them out. I left them in the recovery position, like a good EMT. Like, I put them in a safe place on their left side. Rats have been eating people, and that counts as a kill. And I had no idea that actually counted until last night. I actually encountered the rats eating a guy,
and I
knocked him out. And
that's a big Dishonored 1 thing that they did.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, so in Dishonored 1, that happened all the time because it was like, oh, the rat plague. I didn't know that came back over for Dishonored 2.
Apparently, it did because even though they're not plague rats, they're just like
hungry,
beastly rats who eat your face when you're knocked out. That's the thing. You would wake up. Even if you were passed out, you would probably wake up if a rat was eating your face.
You hit those guys pretty hard.
I guess I did.
So that's on you.
I played a little rough.
That happened to me too, Danielle, and I think that's actually like a really poorly implemented way of like the emergent world interlocking with your kid. Like, because that's, as I've gone back, once someone pointed that out to me, I said, oh, that makes sense, because I never, they're probably getting killed by the dudes that I'm just leaving in the streets.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like putting in a corner, and it was a bummer. Not that like the achievement means anything to me. Like, I still ended up playing 99.9% stealthy, but it was just a bummer to have like, you're like, oh, I did it, and then you see like two kills. Like, no, that's not possible. And then realizing it's because of the if it's not the rats, the blood flies can also kill enemies. So it's like those both make sense. And in a way, I appreciate that the world can do those things, but I find that at odds with the game encouraging you to do, like, you know, all stealth runs. And for actions that are unrelated to the player, you can have that stuff disrupted unless you're constantly checking a menu to see your stats.
Does that show up in the stat menu?
But you have to pause.
Yeah, you can do it mid-mission.
Get out of the game. It's not like you could just like flip a menu or anything, like, especially playing on console. And it's a little annoying. It's like an A- instead of an A, and it's like, I deserve
I also like that suggests that there's a way to go through this game Mr. Magoo style, just fucking up. Like, you're completely the best of intentions, and just like, oh, I'm going to knock this guy out and put him here, and they're like, oh, he's
in the
dead.
Recovery position, even.
Right, you end up with, like, the high chaos ending because you've Magooed your way through, by mistake, killing dozens and dozens of people.
Emily Caldwin is Mr. Magoo in Dishonored 2.
That's it.
Basically. It's still a great game, I'm just like...
Yeah, that one bit.
You know.
I didn't get any further in Dishonored 2. My plate was filled this weekend with other games.
But you were playing with a very special cat flying...
Bird
creature.
It doesn't fly. It has wings, but it can jump.
Okay.
Its jumps are really good.
It can do cool jumps.
Trico from The Last Guardian has some good-ass jumps. It's got those ups. Like, it can get
ups
up there. So we got The Last Guardian last week. I put some time aside on the weekend to finally get into it. That game is interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at any reviews yet at all. I know they're out there. I have an email about a review that I'll read in a little bit, or about reviews in general of that game. My impression is, and my impression while playing it was like, oh, people aren't going to like this game. And the big reason I don't think people are going to say that they don't like this game is the camera controls are butt. They're really
not
bad.
A good butt.
And not just the camera controls. That's not true. It's not the camera controls. Like, it's a kind of a floaty camera, or like it fights you a little bit. Like, it doesn't want to do the thing you want it to do.
Oh, you mean it's a Team
it's
Eco
game.
But
also the level design is built such that it's constantly fighting the camera. Like, there are lots of tight spaces, and, you know, sort of like Titanfall or something, there are two scales to this game. There's like the little boy scale of you running around, and then there's the Trico scale. And those two things just don't mesh cleanly. Like, Trico is constantly getting in the way of the camera, and it's like, oh, it's black for a second. Or, the other thing that happens is just like, it's just impossible to see where you're at. Or the most frustrating one is there are these big cinematic moments every once in a while where a bridge is collapsing or you're, like, falling and then Trico catches you or whatever. All sorts of stuff like that happen. And when they happen, they happen at a point where it's like, I'm desperate for action to happen. I've been doing puzzles for the last hour and a half. I need something that feels like a narrative progression, even if that narrative progression is just like, oh, Trico caught me. That means we're close friends now. And, like, the camera misses those moments all the time, too.
Oh,
and, like, those are scripted sequences, dog. Like, your camera work needs to be on point for those. And it just misses it sometimes. It's very strange and weird. So that's one reason why I think people will really dislike it. The controls are also kind of a pain and, like, aren't... They don't do the thing... They don't feel smooth, again, like most Team Ico games.
They're very slippery.
Yes.
And that's, that. You know, that defined, you know, the previous two games from Fumito Ueda. And that, I think that's what surprised me when I finally sat down and played this game for the better part of 90 minutes at E3 was, oh, this game is ripped straight out of PlayStation 2. Like, I think they're... When you think about that game's, lengthy, 10-year development, or 9 years or whatever it is, you thought, you know, look at, like, Final Fantasy... that just came out, and that's a game that clearly evolved, changed, adapted, tried to become something that felt incredibly relevant to sort of like current design tropes and trends in 2016. The Last Guardian is like the antithesis of that. The Last Guardian is what The Last Guardian was. Like, I don't know that for a fact, right? I can't remember, I don't have like a deep insight, but it feels like they just made the game with the design document they had 9 years ago and just got around to finishing it now for like warts and all.
And the biggest example of that for me is that it's long. Like, I'm 6-7 hours in, something like that, maybe 5, but I feel like I'm a third of the way through. Like, I feel like I just hit the big act one ending. And reading reviews of people saying, or hearing from people I know who are doing reviews, it took them 15 hours to beat the game. It's like, I don't want to be playing this for another 10 hours. In the time since Shadow of the Colossus, we've had Journey, we've had Limbo and Inside, we've had Brothers, we've had all these games that are loosely in this same evocative, puzzly platformer, genre that do stuff in a tight 4 hours, 5 hours maybe, like a single sitting game. And if The Last Guardian was like a really good single sitting game with like some reason to replay it, I would be way happier than I am right now with it.
I have to ask. Is it scratching the itch of Shadow of the Colossus and Ico?
No.
Is it? It's not quite doing the same things. It's like that's why I want to play it, because
like,
I want something that scratches
itch?
That itch.
What itch?
Yeah, I was say, what is it like? Describe what that itch is.
The grandeur of those games, as well as being sort of in an interesting world, and there's puzzles, and there's sort of interesting stuff going on, but it's like a grand, beautiful, big space.
Shadow of the Colossus was like so much more evocative than this is for me. So much of the spatiality of Shadow of the Colossus was emphasized by the size of those creatures.
Yeah.
And the ways that they traversed differently than you. Here, this place is big, and it's very pretty, and there are moments of just like, oh, damn, that's real cool. Like, oh, snap, that's a bunch of cool towers. But you're
basically
in a cavern, or not a cavern, a a canyon or like a gorge or something that there's all of these ruins built inside of, or like these old, all this old architecture. And a lot of that game is spent inside exploring spaces and like trying to get back outside. And there's not like you go in for a while and you pop out and then you have to go past a place. And a lot of the puzzles are about, oh, you can get into a place, but Trico can't. And that stuff is fine, but like it's again, like I can't, you know, in a year when Inside came out and understood that every screen was a puzzle and like then you moved on to a new like diorama, this feels like exhaustive and like and just so long and I don't know, like poorly paced in comparison. And that's not, again, if it came out a decade ago, we would all talk about how it was great, but it was hard to go back to because our attention spans have changed or something. Yeah. But it came out today and it, or it came out, you know, this week and it's such a different environment. I will say, going back to the question of controls, Patrick, the one thing I think that this game does really well, or it does a bunch of things. It does a bunch of things really well. Let me just say that also. But one of the things it does really well, and this is also going to frustrate people, is that it's like, it does single player co-op in a way that reminds you that sometimes love is not a two-way street. And that, like, the things that you love, the people that you love, the animals that you love, don't listen to you that well. You have a baby, Patrick, and you have dogs.
Yes, she does not listen. She does not listen.
You have a dog and two cats, and that dog has been shitting itself nonstop
every day. I wake up to a new surprise.
Same with my kid. Same exact problem.
They're basically, and same with Trico. Well, Trico does shit itself, but
Trico also poops.
That's an achievement apparently that I've not yet gotten, that Trico poops. If you catch Trico,
well, that's really good.
You get a trophy, a gold trophy.
That's really good.
But there's like a lot of moments where it's just like, all right, all you have to do is jump up there. Just jump right up there. And it's like, all right.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
Right. And like, oh, you are so close. Please just jump over there. And there's like a real sense of teamwork, in the sense that like when you play a team sport, you have to rely on other people to do what they do well. You can't just like tell them go do a thing and they'll do it. They have to execute on it. And sometimes Trico don't execute. There's like communication problems, or he's scared, and like that stuff is actually really effective if you can be patient. Like, it's a game about being patient for someone to figure stuff out. And then there are moments when it's like, oh, he's getting it. Like, jump, jump, jump. Like, yes, you nailed it. He'll never miss a jump. Like, he'll never like miss a jump in the sense of like, once he starts going in the right direction, he doesn't jump far enough or something outside of scripted sequences.
Right.
But sometimes like he's like distracted by a smell, or like is really hungry, or like just doesn't seem to interpret your commands clearly. And I think that that's really effective and good. And also it makes me not want to play this game.
Sure.
Because I don't.
Well, it's interesting because I think, you know, when Danielle's talking about what she thinks about, she thinks of sort of like away to games. Like, when I think of away to games, I think of relationships. Like, I think that's what defines like all three of the games. Like, certainly like sort of evocative grand sort of like worlds is part of that. But, you know, when I think of this first game, you know, I think of, you know, the relationship between you and the princess that you're, you know, escorting through, which is a game that like the relationship, it feels a little bit weird as time goes on. But like, you know, like the mechanic itself, like there's a whole mechanic designed around building a relationship between them by you holding her hand. And then, you know, in Shadow of the Colossus, like your relationship is between you and the sort of the Colossi, and like what it's like to kill these sort of beasts and they're off on their own. And so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to in this game, is just seeing like how that is explored and changed. And also, in some ways, I'm kind of glad that it feels like a game from 9 years ago. There's something sort of fascinating about the fact that they stuck with the design, like problems and all, like even if that ends up in some ways being worse for the game and how it's received in 2016, there's kind of something fascinating about a game like that being plucked out of 9 years ago and just sort of seeing like in some ways how much things have changed and how different games have approached that makes it, I don't know, it makes it interesting. I don't know if it makes it good or better, but it makes it interesting.
It is like a fascinating game to think about all that stuff through. Like, we don't get to zoom out and think about games and like the craft of making games in this way when we think about eras of game design that often, or like we have to put ourselves in that space. This like shoves you into that place and says like, no, remember 10 years ago this would have been dope. Or like remember playing Shadow of the Colossus in the game room at college and being like, wow, look at how big and vast this all is. And like Shadow of the Colossus is also a game that's maybe a little too long for its own good.
Oh, totally.
If you go back to it.
It's like four Colossi too long.
Well, right, right. But, like, that's also just us speaking from 2016. Like, at the time, I wished it was twice as long,
of course.
You know?
Because you're in college and you have time to do things like that. I know you were mentioning something also about sort of, speaking of relationships, like, the relationship between you and an animal that's, like, not happy all the time, so, like, and, like, having... That's a thing I've mentioned before,
maybe not on this podcast, but certainly on some podcast or some stream, that, like, I legit have a weird empathy problem with animals, which is, like, there's a video going around right now on the internet of a dog being tricked by someone who knows magic. It's, like, a person who has a treat on their finger, and then goes, like, boop, and then it goes away because the person's a wizard and understands the esoteric forces around us how to manipulate them such that they can trick a natural philosopher. Trick small animals. And the dog is like, where'd my treat go? But it, like, hurts me deep inside.
The dog just wanted his treat.
And it happens, like, so it's, like, really for me, if a friend links me a video of, like, someone hiding food from an animal, I straight up ask them, like, does the animal get the food at the end of this video? Otherwise, I cannot watch it. It hurts me in my chest. So,
what was that whole there was that video meme series happening with cats where people were tricking them with
cucumbers. I hate it so much.
And it was actually, like, ethically sort of really questionable because they thought the pickles were snakes,
really,
like as a evolutionary trait.
That's so mean. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, like, and it's not, I don't want to be clear, like, I'm not making the ethical case against people who make funny videos of animals. I am making the emotional case that, like, it's strictly hard for me to consume some of that stuff. And so when, like, Trico gets hurt and is whining, and then when the boy character is, like, petting him, so every time Trico gets in a fight, and this happens a lot, and again, this is, like, the overlap of kind of exhausting game design with this other animal empathy stuff. When Trico gets in a fight, after the fight is over, it just, like, throws a tantrum, and you have to calm it down by climbing on its back and petting it, like, on the head or behind the ears. You can't just, like, be like, you can't just pet its leg and be like, yeah, good enough. And then, like, the boy is like, please calm down, please. Like, in weird language. I don't think it's Japanese. I think it's a made-up language.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, all of the Team Eco stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, that moment, like, crushes me. It's really hard. It's like wiping the blood out of its fur and feathers. Which is really effective and good, but also just, like, the last thing that happened was we fell really, first of all, the last thing that happened was we got to a point where it's like, oh, we're really high up, and then we got knocked the fuck down, and I just, like, felt bad, I was like, I'm done, like, I don't want to climb this whole thing again, like, it was a set piece again, but, like, I just don't want to, I felt defeated in a way that is good, like, they managed to make me feel defeated, but also... I, like, the Trico is all bloody and hurt and wounded and, like, crying and hungry. I can't, I don't know
if I'm going to... Do you play Pokemon?
Yeah.
It's not the same. I mean, the newer ones, there's more petting.
Yeah, I like the petting. So my problem with the new Pokemon is I can't not do the Pokemon in me after every fight. Because it says I can pet the thing.
You can.
I'm not gonna, if I...
You can give it a treat and pet it.
I started petting it. What's it going to think, Danielle, if I stop petting it suddenly? Is it going to think it didn't do a good job?
It's going to be like, he hates me now.
What did I do wrong?
He hates me.
I didn't use quick enough.
That's what it was.
So I can't even play the new Pokemon. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
As someone with an actual, like, anxious animal.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Animal who does cry about literally everything. Like, if I haven't been holding him for more than 2 hours a day, he will cry. I hear this. Like, I'm feeling this in my chest, too, as we're talking about it. So
I think Trico is a really great character and, like, a really good... There's some, like, latent anger issues or, like, I don't know, it might be... I don't know. There's some cool stuff in the first act of, like, what is this thing? You're building this bond. I have no idea. I'm 5 hours in, but my prediction from forever ago wasn't that, like, oh, it's going to die, which felt like, yeah, of course. Like, that's... And I think I'd be fine with it just dying. I'm worse with it suffering than dying.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You're fine with that, Austin.
Dies,
great.
Dies.
Good to know where the line is with you.
If it dies, but if it's, like, suffering, that's bad. But I actually think it's... I'm curious. We'll see. And I'm really curious about where the story goes in this game. He's like, oh, is it gonna be bad? I don't want it to be bad. It would be so much more heartbreaking if it wasn't.
He's in like a cage and he's crying.
If he was like mean. That's the actual horrific ending I'm afraid of. It's like it ends with
Trico eating you.
Well, I mean,
is this the bad ending you're predicting?
Trico has already attacked me. Trico has attacked me once. Is what I'll say. Within the first like 3 hours.
Well, yeah, but my dog bites me every once in a while. But I don't think my dog is gonna like consume my
flesh.
Yeah,
fucking tell that to the people in Karnaca where the rats ate them. The rats don't eat people normally.
Yeah, typically. And then
Emily Colvin's gonna knock you out, and then Pixel's just gonna come nibble at you, Patrick.
Pixel,
that's.
Pixel doesn't have many teeth these days.
See.
Good luck.
Pixel's not doing great in the dental department.
Small dogs lose their teeth over time, and eventually, Pixel Chihuahuas can live to 20 years, and they're not really supposed. Their bodies are not meant to live that long, and so they aren't. I mean, they aren't. They do. Like at some point, like year 15, they're just eating mush.
Welcome
so.
To the modern world, I guess.
I love it.
So exactly. What else is going on? That's my last Guardian talk. Is anything else popping off over the weekend for you?
Mario Maker 3DS.
How's that going?
I've been playing a little bit of that. It's actually quite good.
Uh-huh.
It's missing the core functionality of actually sort of playing online, like making levels and putting them online, which is, you know, pretty core to the experience.
So you can download levels from online?
You can. I think there's a friend code thing going on. You can collaborate on making levels with a friend code. You can, like, work with your buddy. I have not tested that out yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's like a friend code dealio.
Okay.
I will say this. This is the awesome thing about it. You have hundreds and hundreds of Mario courses available to you anywhere you want. Like, you can be on the bus.
Sure.
You can be wherever. You can be on the plane, and you can be playing Mario Maker levels. Like, good Mario Maker levels.
Right.
Like, there are so, so many that Nintendo has actually sort of curated for your enjoyment.
Okay.
And that's amazing. And there's actually, like, 100 course... it's not 100 courses. There's 18 worlds with sort of, like, 4 courses and a castle. And you can kind of go through that. That's sort of, like, the main single-player kind of thing.
But, like, if I had $40 burning a hole in my pocket...
Yeah.
Would I be better off getting this or like, Super Mario... New Super Mario 2 or whatever the last...
Mario 3D World.
3D Land.
Yes. Yeah.
Great game.
It's a great game.
So, like, that's one of the things with Nintendo games is, like... They're often in a league of their own, but that also means that there's lots of competition in that league.
Sure.
That's why their games...
In their own franchise.
Right, like, never go on sale is because, like... Yeah, 3D Land is probably just as good today as it was when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Honestly, do you love classic 2D Mario because you might actually really enjoy this?
Right.
I do. I enjoy both. Platformers are my thing. I love Mario games. I've been playing them since I was able to hold a controller, so... Yes, I am really enjoying this. But again, this is sort of like... I would give this the sort of same recommendation as, like, the NES Classic, which I know is, like, you know, the hot new thing. But if you already have this, you probably don't need a second version.
Right.
But it's an awesome version of what it is. So, there you have it.
Yeah, I have to imagine they're going to put out, like, a Mario Maker 2 on the Switch. And so, even... I played Mario Maker for the better part of a year.
You sure did.
So, I'm fairly... I'm not burnt out as much as I just needed to walk away from it for a little while. And the compromises in the 3DS version, I think, are fine, especially if you don't have any other choice. You didn't play the Wii U version. But at this point, I'm like, I'd rather just save my money and my time for...
That's Pixel.
My dog is shaking in the background.
She's hanging out.
Yeah, I can't... I cannot look at Pixel right now because if I look her in the eyes, if she catches me looking at her, she's in here because she wants to be fed. And so if I look at her, she'll engage, and she'll be like, all right, it's time to feed, and she will...
This is like Trico in reverse, where Pixel's smaller than you instead of bigger.
Oh, exactly.
You're the one who's the big, scary monster.
That's the sequel. You might eat Pixel. That's what she's afraid of.
Don't eat Pixel.
Yeah. There's not much meat on those bones. if the apocalypse occurred and all I had was my dog, I might as well just not even bother.
With her.
Right.
You know,
yeah, we'll just die together because I'm not going to survive more than a couple hours with what she's got packed.
Yeah. Awesome. Patrick, are you playing anything else over the weekend or get up to
I'm continuing to play a lot of Final Fantasy, but given that we're so tight for time, you and I and Mike Dive are going to be doing sort of a little letter thing talking about our experiences with Final Fantasy. But I continue to really enjoy it. I continue to not know what's happening in the story, but I think it's probably a testament to the game that the main story can be so abjectly awful and I'm still having like an immense amount of fun with it. Like, it's just says a lot about the combat system, says a lot about the world, says a lot about the characters. I don't like the fact that I feel embarrassed. I literally go to different places on the map to refuel my car, because if you refuel it and Cindy refuels it, it goes into like a half stripper thing with her, like sensually and sexually filling up your car. It's legitimately embarrassing. Like, it's like, if I have no embarrassment about the fact that I play video games for a living. I get embarrassed for video games when I have to like think about like, oh, my mom's coming over to do like Christmas tree stuff. If Final Fantasy 15 is on, I better make sure that I go somewhere else to refuel my goddamn car so that Cindy doesn't go parading around my big projector. Because
it's kind of a bummer, because Cindy is actually a totally cool character. And like,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with her. It's just the way she was dressed by the people who made her.
Like, that's how she's always dressed all of the time. It's not a, the real Cindy can dress however the fuck she wants.
Yes.
Cindy, the game character.
Cindy can have her own wardrobe, her own feelings about it, et cetera. Yes.
Yes. Cindy, the game character, it does feel excessive. Yeah. And does feel like I don't get, we don't get Gladio's pecs up on the front
windshield. I wish he would wash the car like that.
No, it's only her.
Like, he would kind of do the Magic Mike, like, hump move.
Right, there's no Magic Mike.
You know, he's like, getting the windshield.
It's just Sorcerer Cindy. It's no Magic Mike.
Oh.
So, it's, other than that, the game is solid. And, I mean, I've also spoken to some people who have returned to their question of just, like, really, could you only do this game with four dudes? Could you really only do this game with four dudes? Could there not have been a lady in this party?
A series that has
historically had a bunch of really cool female characters. Yeah. And I'm still very early, but I haven't yet hit the thing where it's like, oh no, it's such a deep dive on masculinity that it had to be four bros. Cindy could have easily been one of those bros.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard, you know, I'm curious to see how the story ends up playing out, because for friends of mine that have finished it, they say, look, okay, the story is a complete mess, and you probably should go watch the CG movie, but don't watch it because it's bad. Like, it only gives you context. It's not a good CG film. Like, it's just clearly stuff they cut from the game's first act and then crammed into a film to give you something else to understand the world. But it has been argued that by the end, like, you truly come to care about, like, the four characters and their plight. So, I'm not saying that's going to excuse, like, what has historically been, like, a series that has, like, spread gender pretty equally in an interesting way. But I am at least curious to see if they made that decision, how it does or doesn't pay off at the end. Like, maybe there is something about it that's like, yeah, like, I'm glad it was these four characters and they chose to go this route. Or maybe it seems like a missed opportunity.
I'm deeply curious. I also just briefly started playing Let It Die last night.
Oh, how's that?
It's weird. So Suda51 put out a game this weekend for free.
Did he, though? Like, I feel like he is the equivalent of, like, J.J. Abrams, in which his name goes on a lot of things, but it's unclear which ones he actually worked on.
This feels pretty fucking Suda. There are, like, 100 J-Rock songs in this. And there's a guy who's your friend whose name is Uncle... Is it just Uncle Death? It might just be Uncle Death, who's like a Latinx.
I'm good with that.
Like a Latino, like, skeleton man who has like X-ray specs and like a skateboard.
Good.
And then you visit him at an arcade where you are also there, Patrick.
So Suda put out in this game.
Okay.
As a pro gamer who gives you tips about this game.
Oh, yeah, and that explains why I was getting these the photos over the weekend from people like, hey, what's up? Why are you in Let It Die?
I'm like, what? Okay. And Uncle Death is like, I don't think that's his name. It's Uncle something.
I wish it was Uncle Death, though, because whatever it is not going to be as good as Uncle Death.
Uncle Birthday or something?
No, like, it's not. It's just he has a Latino accent, but he isn't necessarily. I think it's Uncle Death. It's Uncle Death.
It's Uncle Death. Okay.
Good. Yeah. That's a great name. Like, add that to our list of Game of the Year considerations. Best name. Uncle Death.
He is like, take a seat. You're living in this weird post-apocalyptic Tokyo, and there's a tower made up of other buildings. It's a weird... It reminds me of, like, the Persona 4... No, the Persona 3 tower that's in the middle of Tartarus or whatever, in the middle of that. And you have to, like, go in there and kill people, and it's a Dark Souls in there. It's a roguelike Dark Souls, sort of. That's my, like, super reductive meets. And Uncle Death is like, all right, sit down here. And then I'm going to project weird virtual reality into your head from a beetle There's a beetle nearby that can shoot VR beams into your eyes. And then you take on a weird body that's like a hyper robot human body. It's very strange. You get weapons, there's crafting. I have to put more time into it.
It sounds interesting.
I'm shocked that we've made it this far into the podcast and not talked about the fact that NAC 2 was announced over the weekend.
NAC 2 happened. NAC 2 is happening.
Yeah.
NAC 2 is happening. Get NAC'd. Get NAC'd.
I hate NAC. I don't. We only had 72 games for our 72-hour stream. I wasn't going to let one of those games be NAC. If it had been NAC 2, if Mark Cerny had been like, Austin, I'm going to give you an exclusive demo for NAC 2. I would have been like, oh, word, Mark? Because I have Mark and I talk sometimes, you know, just on the side. We're like friends.
You just have chats.
Or whatever. Just have Mark chats. Yeah, Cerny Mark chatting. Yeah. With Cerny. It doesn't work.
Chat with Cerny.
I would have shown it. But NAC 1.
NAC chats.
NAC's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to play that game, Austin.
We should do a co-op playthrough of NAC 2.
Oh, we're playing all the way through NAC.
No.
I hear that game is exceptionally long.
NAC is fantastic. Really long.
Like, we're talking, like, how is this game still going? How can this game continue existing?
72 hours of NAC. Let's go. We're going to get all the trophies. Good. What else?
Yeah, here's our platinum run of NAC. That seems like a great way to just end our lives. Yeah.
Anything else come from PSX? Worth mentioning?
Well, there was Last of Us, which you... I would say maybe one thing to end on would be, the Last of Us and the Uncharted DLC reveal, which, Austin, you wrote a brief piece on.
I did. It was like Saturday night, and I was like, or Friday night. I don't know, Saturday night. I gotta write about this. There was a Last of Us 2 reveal, and there was also... The Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, which is a standalone.
Starring Chloe
and Nadine
which
Ross.
Which is Claudia Black. Well, not Nadine.
No.
Chloe is Claudia Black.
And Nadine is Laura Bailey.
Yes. Her.
Which is...
You're getting me really confused right now.
All these names.
There's a lot of names.
Yeah.
So there was this trailer, and I think that the trailer was effective at communicating that it's going to be a really pretty Uncharted game by this team, Naughty Dog, who does really great stuff for what they're trying to do. And it brought into focus why I've never connected with those games the way a lot of people have, here's like the boiled down version of it. They evoke really big spaces better than I think anybody else in the business does it. Like, lived-in places. Like, their cities feel like real places. And then there's only one way to do anything in them. Yeah. And, like, that is disjointed to me in a way that, like, the Gears of War series, which also is super linear, does not feel disjointed. Mm-hmm. I've always been cool with Gears of War just being an arena and then move forward and there's an arena and you do this and then someone opens a door and then there's another arena. Their arenas are super
like that's also
just like, oh yeah, yeah. I can see the artifice. They know I'm seeing the artifice. There's no pretense at it not being artifice.
Right.
It's like looking at a movie set that you know is a movie set
right.
versus being in something that everybody kind of knows what it is, but it's so well designed to be what it is that
right.
it's not.
That it's not, yeah, right, exactly. Or like Titanfall, the other thing that like Titanfall 2 this year did is like it's still super linear, but at every point I feel like I have lots of options for what verbs I'm using. You get into a room and it's like, hold this room for 3 minutes, and like, okay, I can do that a bunch of different ways depending on what my loadouts are, depending on how mobile I want to be, depending on if I want to kind of hold my position and just like take pot shots. Like, and so there's lots of ways for me to engage with that really cool area. But in the Uncharted series, everything I've played, I'm not finished 4. And I hear 4 is more open in this regard. But
if nothing about it is going to change. Right. Like, I didn't particularly care for Uncharted 4, and I liked 2, and that was about it. But your concerns about Naughty Dog's approach will not change.
And
in
I
4.
Respect their approach. I don't diss anybody who likes their approach. It just it bugs me the same way that the animal empathy thing. It's just like something that's hardwired into my brain.
Yeah.
And the way that this trailer hits this is that like. There's early on, you see that the main character, Chloe, who is at that point disguised in hijab, which is like a whole other conversation that we have.
Yeah.
She looks at her phone and sees, oh, I have to get to this red door somewhere in the city. She like goes past some guards, sneaks around, finds the red door, and it's framed so beautifully in this like hole that's been cut into a wire fence, whatever that's called. And then, like, it's like, oh, wow, that's, like, a cool moment from a movie. Like, I get it. Like, there it is, but there's this fence between her and it, and, like, she'll have to figure out how to get over there, And then, like, she just, like, turns to the right three steps, and the camera pans, and it's just like, oh, there's another fence that you can crawl under. And, like, that's not how cities work, right? That's one way a city can work.
Yeah.
There are all these other ways that, cities, and the only reason I bring that up is because it feels like there should be all these other ways based on how beautiful and well-rendered that city is. And, like, that's the mismatch for me. It's not little narrative dissonance. It's just, it's like aesthetic, it's like little aesthetic dissonance, right? Like, the way I want to play doesn't match up with the way the world looks. And that's always been my beef with them. And I'm cool with that. Like, if that's not a thing that bugs you, but it's been bugging me. So it was good to finally be able to figure out how to talk about that. I wish we had more time to get into it.
I definitely, I'm all excited about Last of Us two, part whatever. The Last of Us part two. I know it's like a whole specific thing, the way it's named. But yeah, we can talk about it some other time.
We will. I'm going to save this question for Friday.
Sounds good.
Someone wrote in with a really good question, but we got to wrap it up. So I'm gonna start wrapping it up. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, Patrick. Where can people find you on the internet?
Find me at Patrick Klupik. And at on Facebook, Pete Klupik. Is that a thing? Are we doing that?
Pete
Klupik? Pete Klap. Pete Klap. You can find me at Pete Klap.
Danielle, what about you? Sorry. Danielle Ori on Twitter, and I'm Danielle Rando Writer on Facebook.
Fancy.
Got that one.
Austin Walker Games on Facebook, Austin_Walker on Twitter. You can find everything Waypoint does at twitter.com/Waypoint, at facebook.com/Waypoint Vice. At waypoint.vice.com, at waypoint.zone, at digitalpyramids.com, at bazinga.zone.
Yeah, it keeps going.
Shout outs to Tim Barnes, our producer. Tim, where can people find you?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at TimBarnes451.
TimBarnes451.
That's
hell
a signature,
yeah.
Which jokes burn.
Right. Which,
I like that.
That's good. Awesome.
Tim is great.
Tim is good. Tim's also engineering the podcast for us these days. And then you can also...
Bowen.
Waypoint.zone/Bowen. B-O-E-N. He did the music. Dope music. Thank you, Bowen. Keep it up. We love you all. We'll be back on Wednesday for a live stream. I think Mike Diver will be streaming, actually, on Wednesday from a pub in the UK.
Yeah,
they let that happen. Anything can happen. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.